Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
God is good, and let me tell you something, that is real. When the Bible says that he will rebuke the devourer from your doorstep, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it be true. And when you are in covenant with God, when you tithe, God rebukes the devourer. He rebukes the enemy trying to come and steal away from you in your life. And what a great testimony. Thank you, Francesca, for sharing that today. I'm excited today, and I'm going to welcome my good friend, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him in a minute, but go ahead and welcome A.J. Donaldson to the stage. Before we sit down, we're just going to pray, and then we'll get into this. God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, all that you are saying in our life. God, I thank you, Lord, it's not by accident, it's not by coincidence, God, but you are actually having a design. God, you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us, plans not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. So God, we want to receive from you today what your plan is for us. God, it's not enough to just have some plans on our own, because the Bible talks about how faulty our plans can be. But God, you have a design, Father, for us to win. You have a design for us to be more than conquerors. So God, I thank you, Lord, as we open up your word, God, and we want to hear what you have to say about us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Well, God is doing so much. He's saying so much, and he's saying that it's time. It's your time. I don't know what it is, the dream that God has placed in your heart. Whatever it is that God has said to you, he's saying it's time. And we've been talking about how the natural byproduct, the natural next step to be thinking is, well, what's my footprint? If it's my time and I'm supposed to do these great things, these dreams that God has placed in my heart, then the next step is, what's my footprint? What happens if I move in action on this word? There's always a repercussion with obedience. Obedience always brings a blessing. Obedience always brings an impact. There's always impact when there is obedience to the Holy Spirit. So you can't be obedient to the word of God and there not be impact. There not to be some type of door open, some type of miracle to happen. So this is what I want to talk about is, what is our footprint? And so I'm not interested in doing the mundane or doing what's been done before. Like, what I believe God is saying is that he wants to do miraculous things. He wants you to live the dream that he placed inside of you. So this is about being in creative partnership with the Holy Spirit, right? I want to be in creative partnership. When you're in creative partnership with the Holy Spirit, nothing is mundane. Everything is extraordinary. Everything is epic. We'll talk about that in a minute. Everything is amazing because there's innovation that God wants us to do, and that only happens when we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. I want to partner with the Holy Spirit. Even we're going to talk about this, to partner to educate the next generation. I want to partner with the Holy Spirit to say, how can I give back? How can I impart what God has placed in me? And when we're partnering with the Holy Spirit, he begins to partner us with the right people according to his will, according to his design. So he brings us together with other brothers and sisters in Christ to do things that are important to the assignment that he's given us. So I'm so happy to have my good friend AJ up here. And we've known each other since college, right? And I was going to Bible school. You were going to UM for engineering. But then you graduated and God took you in a completely different direction than you thought. Then you were educated, but God was in it. And it was amazing. You started your own business. You started your own nonprofit. And God has blessed you. God has opened up doors. God has brought people into your life. But you have this overwhelming passion that God put in you to live out the dream that he placed inside of you. And so let's talk about that a little bit, and just, we're going to set up this footprint, but I want them to know, you know, a little bit of what God has done with you. We're all talking about footprint. Talk about the footprint that God began to stir in you with the passion that he gave you.
Yeah, so good morning, Hope United. This ain't all. Good morning, Hope United. I am so completely honored and blessed to be here with you this morning, and my good friend from way back, Pastor Joshua Swilling, of course. I honor his beautiful, lovely wife, Pastor Corinne Swilling. Y'all give it up for Pastor Corinne and Pastor Josh. You know how much we love you guys, and I would be remiss not to say this before man and before God, that it is good to be home. It's good to be home. So, to answer your question, my friend, yes, University of Miami had a very, very interesting time there. And to answer that question about passion, when I graduated from the University of Miami, the way that showed up in me was truly, earnestly in anger. I was upset because, as you said, I went into a university with a certain expectation. I went into the University of Miami on a full scholarship in order to pursue an audio electrical engineering degree that had nothing to do with my true passions whatsoever. This was a young black man in Opa-locka who happened to listen to his teachers, who got the 4.0, who did what he was supposed to do, thus earning a scholarship, but no one asked me, what's your passion? No one helped evaluate the direction that my life was leading. They just said, here, come here, do this that serves us, not necessarily you. And so as I've grown and I've matured and I have explored my feelings and understanding, even in the exploration of being a man, that anger was pain. That's how it manifested itself. As a former football player, we use a lot of that aggression on the field, right? And we are able to channel a lot of that anger. But when you leave and that isn't an outlet anymore, where does that anger turn? And so thankfully, I was able to lean on mentorship and a wise man you may know as your father, Bishop Dwayne Swilly. One time I remember hearing him say, you know, plan. I had heard that a real man plans. A man is not a man unless he plans. But then he said and added on to that and says, plan, but make sure you write your plans in pencil. Because you're going to have to erase. God's going to come in here and erase some things. So don't write it in pen because it's never permanent. So I had to recognize that this anger was really coming from pain. And that pain turned into a passion to make sure the next generation didn't go through what I went through. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely.
You know, we have a footprint as Christians. We have a footprint as his church. We have a footprint as God's people. And there's a real sense, I think, of introspection about Matthew 28 when it talks about this great commission to make disciples. You know, Matthew 28 says, therefore go and make disciples, right, of all the nations. And what's interesting about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is an innovating spirit, right, a creative spirit. So we see in the very beginning, in Genesis, God is creating, he's innovating, right? He's doing things in creative ways. And so I think in every generation, God is innovating. He's partnering with us to innovatively disciple. And so what really excites me about some of the projects that we've been working on and some of the things that you're doing even over at Epic is that I feel like we are discipling in a new and innovative way, discipling the next generation. And so, you know, I just wanted to hear how you see, like, what Epic does as discipling. What do you see as far as the Great Commission, as far as Matthew 28, as far as going and training? Because I believe, you know, it's not always going to look the same. God gives us different strategies. His truth is timeless. But the strategy to reach different people groups, to reach the young people, to reach young families, to reach whomever God sends you to reach is going to look different, and the discipleship process looks different. So in some of these things that we've been working together in, and some of these things that Epic is doing, where do you see Matthew 28?
I could talk about where I don't see Matthew 28 very easily. As you said, going to University of Miami, and of course coming out and spending a lot of time within the school system.
Yeah.
I like to make a very important distinction around education and schooling.
Yeah.
First and foremost, your education did not start with school, right? It started at home. Those of you who have children, who was raised up in your house before taking your children to school, learned how to read, was hearing you speak and articulate. So our education started at home. So making a distinction between school or schooling versus education, and even going into Webster's Dictionary and just looking at the definitions, the schooling aspect is a process of being taught. Being educated, that's Matthew. That is what that verse is talking about, because you are raising, you are building, you are training, you are helping to really find an influence, right? So that individual, those children, those men and women, those future men and women, have an opportunity to be developed into their passion, as we mentioned before. So there's a distinction that we have to be mindful of. So in saying where Matthew is not, we know where a lot of this principle was taken and removed, and it's where our kids are every day.
You know, one of the things that I love that I see in the ministry that you do with Epic is, you know, you're not just concerned about, you know, tutoring and getting all the boxes checked, but you're saying, where does this young person need to go? Where is their future? Let's look beyond schooling to look at educating and looking at helping them to cultivate what God has put in them, getting them into the right environments, getting them into the right colleges, getting them into the right job spaces and creative spaces, because, you know, that's really what, man, if there is not a practical application for Matthew 28, I don't think that people in the world want to know about it, because this, our faith has to affect more than Sunday. Our faith should affect the totality of who we are. It should not just make you effective on your knees. It should make you effective on Monday. It should make you effective in education, in the job place, in, you know, in the entertainment field. Wherever that you go, it causes you to be effective. It causes you to be fruitful. So, you know, I love what you do with and what we do together to educate the next generation. And I really see so much of Matthew 28 in that, you know. And I also start thinking, like, what's the cost? What's the cost when we don't step up and have a footprint? What's the cost when we don't have the impact on the world around us that we're supposed to have as Christians? What is the cost of that? So I wanted you to speak to that, both personally, what you feel if you don't step up and do everything, because you've only done a portion of what God has given you. There's so much more still that you're rolling out, that hope is rolling out. What happens if you don't fulfill everything? That what's the cost of that? And then what's the cost just in general for us as Christians when we don't step up and have a footprint that we were meant to have?
So the lives that are within our purview, the lives that we are over, that we are in charge of, is not just our own children, but not to sound cliche, the proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. So it is up to us as a community to come together. And the cost, coming from some of the communities I've been exposed to, the community I grew up in, being able to go around a corner and there be drug dealers literally around the corner from your home, that growing up in a home with a single mother who did her best, her absolute best, complete honoring my mother and everything that she did for me. But at the end of the day, there was no father at home. So a lot of us will experience voids, gaps in our lives. And at some point, the cost may be your life, because someone, somewhere, at some point will look to fill that void. If we don't step up and purposely go out there seeking these children that need us to fill those voids. Now, of course, I lean on the children aspect. I'm looking at the next generation, but we as a people in general, if we don't fill that void, it will be filled by someone, by something.
And if that's not a statement that we all have to keep close to our heart as parents, as believers, like when we don't step up and do what God has called us to do, there's somebody that the enemy will fill to fill that void that you were supposed to fill. And I mean, we see it all through the Word of God. When the people of God didn't step up, it's like the wrong person got in position. When the people of God didn't do what they were supposed to do, then wicked people ruled. And so it's important that we step up and do what we're supposed to do. It's a great quote by Thomas Jefferson that says, "Evil triumphs when good men do nothing." All that has to happen for evil to triumph is for you to do nothing. Just sit on your dream, and somewhere, some person that is wicked will be doing, filling the void that you were meant to fill. We are the answer to a problem that's on the earth. God's people are an answer. We're culture shifters, right? The prayer that Jesus prayed is on earth as it is in heaven. We're the ones that bring that. We're the ones that help to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. So it's important that we understand when God puts something in our heart, you got to walk it out. The cost is too great not to do it. You know, James 2:14 says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say, 'I have faith,' but you don't show it by your actions?" What good is it if you say you have faith, but you don't show it with your actions? Well, write that down. Put that on your refrigerator. James 2:14. Because there has to be action behind faith. There has to be action behind the dream that God places in you. You know, it's great to hear a sermon that it's your time. God is going to cause you to live your dream and walk in your dream. But it's another whole thing to put action and say, you know what? I'm sinking my teeth in. I'm driving my heels in because I'm going to have a footprint. I'm going to see this come to pass. Because it's not always easy. You know, I had a conversation with Pastor Corinne last night. I said, "Look, I know we got the victory, but in a particular area," I was saying, "but that doesn't mean that we're out of the woods yet. You got to understand you're going to have to fight for what God has promised you. You have to fight for it." So we ask ourselves personally, we ask ourselves, you know, as a people, what is the cost when we don't step up? You know, Miles Monroe, one of my favorite quotes, "The graveyard is the richest place on the surface of the earth because there you see the books that were not published, ideas that were not harnessed, songs that were not sung, drama pieces that were never acted." So many people, we say, "Oh, yeah, well, that's not going to be me." But there's so many people that they go, they die not having fulfilled the dream that God has given them. So the cost is too great. And there's this question, I think a lot of times we get to this place where we, you know, we know what God has told us. Or we have some degree of understanding what it is. And some of us here today, you probably, yeah, I know what the next step is. I know what the next action step is. But AJ, there's some people here today, I'm sure, that they say, "Okay, I have an idea of what God has put in my heart to do, but I have no idea what the next step is, you know? I have no idea what the next action item is to get there." So what would you say to somebody that says, "Okay, I'm starting to realize what God has put inside of me," or, "I do know what God has put inside of me, but I have no idea what to do next"?
Well, first and foremost, seek a mentor. Find someone, but mind you, I pivot when I say that because you don't want to find just anyone, right? There's a certain discernment, there's a certain spirituality, there's a certain maturity that you have to now process in order to then lean on that relationship that could potentially help you know what the next step is, because you don't know, you don't have that experience. And even when we talk about the EPIC Foundation, it's an acronym, just like everything else in education, right? But it's an acronym that stands for Experienced Professionals impacting communities. And the steps that we've taken to make that impact, first and foremost, started financial. We needed to make sure that we stepped into these children's lives and showed them that we cared, because, again, to quote someone that we all know, people don't care what you know until they know you care. And at the end of the day, being able to step up and show them that we see them, we hear them, we understand what they're going through, allows them to then open up for that mentorship. Because that's the necessity of being able to now pay it forward, our experiences, and even everything we've been through, all the hardships, all the pain as adults. There's so much information there to be able to pay forward from that experience so that it makes sense, so that that sacrifice and pain goes somewhere, has value for the next generation. So they don't have to go through what we went through. But if you don't know where to go, if you don't know what to do, come to church, seek a mentor, find somebody in your field that has the experience.
That's so true. I was just looking back at one of John Maxwell's books, 15 Laws of Growth, and he's talking about personal growth. And he said exactly the same thing. You have to seek out mentors. You have to seek out people. Get the people around you, or Dad would say, have the team. Build your dream team. You need to have the right people around you to get to your dream. And so having the right people speaking into your life, having the right people partnering with you is critical to reach the next step. I was reading this one book, and it was so great. He said, first, you need to get the right people on the bus. A lot of times we're trying to get to the next destination, but we don't have the right people around us, and it's not going to happen, you know, because God didn't call you to do what he gave you to do by yourself. You're gonna need to immediately start inviting people into that dream to help that dream become a reality. I was talking to Pastor Corinne, and we were talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, and we said everybody needs people around them. You know, one of the people that were critical to his mission was Rosa Parks. You know, if you don't have the right people with you on your team, whether it's mentoring or whether it's partnering, you're not going to get to the place God has called you to be. So absolutely, mentors. Absolutely, people that will hold you accountable. Check up. Say, hey, how's that dream going? How's that thing going? So it's important who you have around you, you know. But at the end of the day, also, we know, too, it's about dependency. There's a dependency that we have on God. You know, and, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and I've seen you go through different processes with your businesses and even the founding of your nonprofit and your ministry portion back to the community. And I've always seen this dependency on the Holy Spirit, because you can never do what God has called you to do without God. It's just, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in the middle of that. You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the middle of that. You need the strategy that only the Holy Spirit can give. So you can't do the God mission, the God dream, without God. The Holy Spirit is a necessary co-worker in the dream God has placed in you. And so there's no question about that principle. It's just a fact. The things that God gives us and places on our heart, they're just way too big. There's way too many moving parts to say, I can do this without the Holy Spirit's help. So this partnership with the Holy Spirit is essential, and I've seen that in the different moves that you're making, that somehow you're always bringing the Holy Spirit back in. And how are you allowing the Holy Spirit to anchor you as you're making important decisions, not just for yourself, for your company, and for the ministry outreach that's always going on with the next generation?
Well, I can tell you for sure this entire organization, this entire foundation, is grounded and founded around biblical principles. All of it. Growing up in the household I grew up in, I learned firsthand the necessity of being able to fall on my faith. Because I have my understanding, I have my process, I have my thoughts, and while all that is going on in this head of mine, I had to discipline myself and was disciplined in learning how to hear, how is it phrased in the Bible, that still small voice, right, that can distinguish between what I'm saying in conflict to what the true decision needs to be, right? And so everything that we've had a chance on doing is has been led by the Holy Spirit. Even when I was in conflict, even when I was uncertain, right, I was still in a place of, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Which is a question, by the way. Which means you have to ask a question and shut your mouth and listen for an answer. And that has dictated a lot of the steps that we've had to do in testing God and seeing that he is what? True.
I like something that I heard John Maxwell say recently, which is, he said, there's the prayer part where we have our mouth open, and there's the meditation part where we have our mouth closed. And I think it's important to have both aspects. And a lot of times we focus so much on the prayer part or the time that we have our mouth open talking to God, and we don't spend enough time listening. Well, what the strategy is, what the next step is, what the guidance is on that, because it's critical. What the Holy Spirit says is essential. And I think it's even more essential when we're doing something that's so much of God. God has given you this dream. Don't you think there's going to be an attack on that? Don't you think there's going to be, you know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but you're wrestling with powers, principalities, powers, all these things coming against your destiny and the dream that God has placed inside of you. So even more so, you got to be prayed up. You got to have a strategy that's straight from the Holy Spirit.
If I may, right there, and it was something I heard from you recently, I think in the last month or so, you had talked about the gift of desperation. Am I quoting that correctly? The gift of desperation, because as I'm leaning on my own understanding, right? Leaning on my own understanding of how I'm supposed to navigate through life. Yeah. And of course, in those several occasions where it fails, yeah, right? If it wasn't for the fact that the gift of desperation, gift of G-O-D, yeah, I have the opportunity to always fall back on my faith. Yeah. No matter what's going on, no matter what the turmoil is, and I do not, and I've told my wife this, I've told my mother this, I do not understand how people can even try to navigate this world and all the chaos without God.
Amen. When God is at the center, things always begin to line up and things begin to fall in place. And I think whenever we try to make things fall in place without God's help, it's like trying to put together a puzzle. We do puzzles sometimes at our house, and sometimes we're like, we're just going to do this puzzle. It's like 5 hours later, we're still working on the puzzle. That's what it's like when you don't have the Holy Spirit involved, because you're just trying to put the pieces together, trying to figure out how everything fits, but you don't have the full picture. You don't have the help, the guidance, the strategy, the revelation that only the Holy Spirit can give. It's so important that we get that, and it's so important that we have an impact, that we have a footprint. Whatever it is that's your next step, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, the cost is too great to not do something about it. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray together. God, I thank you, Lord, for how you're challenging us. And God, the gift of God in everybody in this room, the gift of God in AJ, the gift of God in, Lord, each and every person, whether it's developed, whether we know what it is, whether it's still being revealed, God, you've called us to be your voice, your hands and feet, your influencers. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you're saying it's time. The dream that I've placed inside of you, the thing that I've spoken to you, I'm going to help you to perform it. So God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's listening right now. God, that you would just help them see what the next step is. God, we want to creatively partner with you to do great things, to do big things, to do miraculous things in this world. There are so many needs in this world, and you've put all the answers, but you've put them in different ones of us. So God, help us to step up and to be where we need to be in this hour. And I just pray, maybe there's some people that you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus right now. I hear that God has a plan for me. I hear that God's got some things that he's speaking, but first I need to make sure that I have the Holy Spirit, that I have Jesus in my life. Because if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to know how to roll out what God has given you to do. If you don't have that relationship. And so if that's you today and you say, Pastor, I need to make sure that I'm connected with Jesus, the one that gives the dream, the one that gives the power. If that's you, just slip up your hand right now, or you can just put a one in the chat right now. I want to pray for you right where you are today. If that's you and you slipped up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for your love, for your guidance, for your sacrifice. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, because you wanted to have relationship with me. You died for me because you care for me. Jesus, I realize that I need you. Jesus, I'm sorry for turning away, walking away, not being aware of your love and your desire for me. Jesus, forgive me for all my sins, all my shortcomings, all my failures. Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help me do that. Help me have a fresh start today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. There is nothing like connecting with God in a real way, in a on-time way, because no matter where you are, whether you're taking the first step with Jesus, or you're taking the fifth step with Jesus, or you're just taking the next step with Jesus, it's so important. We talked about it today. It's critical to connect with God. His power is essential in doing what we need to do.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.